may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I was going to do a summary of something that would help me remember next week what my sermon was about this week. It would be all about transformation. Resurrection and transformation. When Jesus was raised from the dead, his body was transformed, and we know this from the gospel for other reasons. But it's kind of neat, because remember last week how Mary ran to tell the disciples that the Lord had risen and she had seen him and they didn't believe her? Well, they kind of got it, you know, from Thomas, because they had seen the Lord now. And then Thomas wasn't there, and we know that he didn't believe them, and he wanted to see it for himself. But the apostles at this point, this was before they had seen him, they were afraid. They were all locked up. They had the windows shut, the doors locked. They were hiding out because they were scared. They were scared for their lives. And then Jesus in his transformed, resurrected body appeared to them. He no longer had human limitations or human restrictions. He was the resurrected Christ. And so what does he do? What's the first thing he says to them? He says, "Peace be with you." Well, he knew what they were going to have to face in the next coming months and years. And he knew that they needed a little extra something. So what about this peace that he gave them? It isn't the casual, "Hi, how are you? Peace be with you," and that's that. No, this peace wasn't passive. It was an active peace. It had action. Jesus was giving them wholeness in their health, mind, body, soul, and spirit. He was letting them know he forgave them for abandoning him. So he was accepting them back. He was giving them forgiveness. He was having reconciliation with his apostles. He was also giving them strength and power, because he was going to send them out like God had sent him out. He was giving them his Christ-like confidence, so that they could go from doubt to faith, from doubt to belief, from doubt to action. And he does it to them, not once, but twice. He said the disciples rejoiced when they saw him. So he was thrilled, they were happy. But happiness without relationship and the Holy Spirit dwelling in them and in us. Happiness isn't enough. We need God. We need Jesus to have our back. We need to let the Holy Spirit work in us so that we can be sent out successfully for our Lord, for God the Father. So he says to them, again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And we know that in the Jewish tradition, if something's said twice, that means it's very important. And so a little bit later on, the next week, Thomas shows up. And what does Thomas tell them? "Well, I don't believe him unless I put my fingers in his holes and put my hand in his side. I'm just not going to believe it." And Jesus appeared again the next week. And what does he tell Thomas? He says, go ahead, put your finger in my hand and put your hand in my side. He wanted Thomas to have faith and not doubt, because he knew that all of them were going to be sent out and it was not going to be easy. All of them died terrible deaths except for St. John, all of them. And it's why we have our knowledge and faith today of the Lord, because of all our forefathers and all the apostles and everyone that was willing to risk their faith and their life for the Lord. But even as we know that, we learn all of that, if we go through, just briefly, even the collect today, grant that all who have been reborn, so when we're reborn, what happens? We've been transformed. We're actually resurrected with Christ. We've been transformed, but there's always a purpose. We are reborn so that we can be in the fellowship of Jesus Christ and Christ's body, and that's us. We're Jesus' emissaries. We're Jesus' hands and feet and mouths right here on earth. We're continuing Jesus' ministry. And then in Acts, you have to admit this is impressive. And I know some will joke and say, oh my gosh, that's socialism, or oh my gosh, that's communism. But it's Christian living. It's a godly attitude and faith in the Lord that we will share in abundance. We share and others share with us. In Acts it says, now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. What an awesome gift of grace they had received and used and were living out. There was not a needy person among them. Now that's a community that has been transformed by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a community that has a godly attitude and a total commitment to the Lord. And then when we turn the page and we read together with Mark a song, Psalm 133, we learn that it's not just a New Testament directive, but it's also an Old Testament directive. It's a way of life with God and a way of life for Christians. How good and pleasant it is to live in unity. And then the first verse, oh, how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity. Well, finally, in 1 John, we have the good news for us today. I won't go through it all, but towards the bottom, it says, if we confess our sins, he who is faithful, that's Jesus, and he who is just, that's Jesus, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all unright acts before God the Father. And then it goes on to say, if we say that we have never sinned, then we make Jesus a liar. And Jesus, if we hadn't sinned, wouldn't have had to come down in the first place. But we do sin. And what happened? Once again, we learn that Jesus has our back. It says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's our good news. Jesus saved. We are saved already. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, that's when we were saved. It is Jesus having a relationship with him, using the Holy Spirit that he has given us and that's in us forever. That's what transforms us to make us able to be sent by him and do his ministry and his work, reconciling the entire world back to God. And it is Jesus that makes us one with God. Atonement, at one-ment. Jesus reconciles us back to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we can remember that just like God the Father sent Jesus, he has sent us. And we can say, Alleluia, Christ is risen.